Welcome, everybody, to Sunday Mass on this Saturday afternoon, the second Sunday of Lent. It's been a while since I've been at St. Wenceslaus, it seems like. Several weeks. All of you are looking older. A little wiser as well. On the second Sunday of Lent every year, we hear of the event of the Transfiguration, when Jesus appeared in all his glory with Peter, James, and John on Mount Tabor. This glorious event of the Transfiguration in the context of Lent seems a bit out of sorts, like it doesn't quite fit. So what's going on here? Why the Transfiguration account on this second Sunday of Lent? In 1859, Charles Dickens wrote a novel entitled A Tale of Two Cities. And this novel begins with what I think is perhaps one of the most famous and well-known opening lines in all of literature. It begins like this. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the age of belief. It was the age of disbelief. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. This novel by Charles Dickens is set in two cities. It's set in London and it's set in Paris during the French Revolution. And throughout the novel, Dickens sets these two opposing things, light, darkness, good and evil, light and death, side by side. In a very similar way, I think we can look at another tale, but this time not of two cities, but rather of two hills, two mountains, Mount Calvary and Mount Tabor. On the first hill, on Mount Tabor, Jesus becomes transfigured in the sight of Peter, James, and John. And on Jesus' left and on his right are Moses and Elijah. Moses, of course, symbolizing the fulfillment of the law, and Elijah symbolizing that Jesus is the fulfillment of all of the prophets. For Peter, James, and John, it was very clear at the transfiguration exactly who Jesus was. Having faith in Jesus at the Transfiguration wasn't that big of a leap. It was right before them. It didn't demand of them a tremendous leap of faith. It was blatantly obvious who Jesus was. And following his teaching and following his way of life at that moment for Peter, James, and John was very easy. Peter even declares, we just heard, Lord, it is good that we are here. If that wasn't enough, there was a voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved son, listen to him. What a mountain. What an experience that must have been. If only faith could be that simple for all of us all of the time. But then we look at that other mountain. We look at Mount Calvary. Is Peter there? Nope. Is James there? Nope. On Jesus' left and on his right are not Moses and Elijah, but two criminals. Jesus' body is transfigured, but more exactly, his body is transformed. He's not wearing dazzling white robes this time. His body is completely stripped, naked. His body isn't glorious, but it's bruised and bloodied and beaten. This time there is no voice from heaven. This time, the only words that can be heard of are that of our Lord. My God, why have you forsaken me? On this hill, on Mount Calvary, Jesus is all but alive. He's nearing his death, the most unimaginable death we can think of. Faith on this mountain is hard. It's difficult. It's challenging. In our lives, as you know, there can be moments, yes, of Mount Tabor, when we see surrounded by people that support us and love us. There are moments in our life when faith is very easy. But there are also many moments, like Mount Calvary, when faith is challenging. It's hard. We don't know how it's going to end. We wonder at some times in our life where God is, if he's even listening to us. But both hills, both mountains, Mount Tabor and Mount Calvary, are both necessary. On Mount Tabor, it's clear who Jesus is on Mount Tabor, but it's harder to see that on Mount Calvary. Take up your cross and follow me. That is the path to salvation. I'm going to conclude with an excerpt from a spiritual classic book that I highly, highly recommend that you read if you have some time, by Thomas A. Kempis, entitled Imitation of Christ. He writes, Jesus has always had many who love his heavenly kingdom, but few who bear his cross. He has many who desire consolation, but few who care for trial. He finds many to share his table, but few to take part in his fasting. All desire to be happy with him. Few wish to suffer anything for him. Many follow him to the breaking of the bread, but few to the drinking of the chalice of his passion. Many revere his miracles, but few approach the shame of the cross. Many love him as long as they encounter no hardship. Many praise and bless him as long as they receive some comfort from him. But if Jesus hides himself and leaves them for a while, they either fall into complaints or into deep dejection. Those, on the contrary, who love him for his own sake and not for any comfort of their own, bless him in all trial and anguish of heart, as well as in the times of consolation. And even if he should give them no consolation, yet they would continue to praise him and wish always to give our Lord thanks.